Blog Talk Radio.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. Please, I encourage you to follow or become a fan. I do a lot of giveaways, books, CDs, movie tickets. The other day I was giving away a Whole Foods gift card, trying to keep you healthy. So follow at Joy Keyes and become a fan on Facebook. I don't know if you know this, but someone in the United States has a stroke every 40 seconds. Every 4 minutes, someone dies of a stroke. Every year, about 795,000 people in the United States have a stroke. In 2010, strokes cost the United States an estimated $53.9 billion. And also, stroke is a leading cause of serious long-term disability. This is all according to the CDC. So today, I am having a show about strokes with two stroke survivors. I am so happy that they are here. Even though they had a stroke, they're here with us today. And they are the faces of stroke ambassadors. They're working with the National Stroke Association. And you guys know I do a lot of shows on a variety of health topics. Well, May is Stroke Awareness Month, so I was like, I got to fit this in somehow, somewhere. We got to get the show in. But I want you to think about that statistic that every 40 seconds someone is having a stroke. So don't just think about strokes in May. Think about them throughout the year. I have on the line Charles Lewis, Stroke Ambassador, and Lanise Hogan. Thank you both for calling in today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You for having me.
So I want to start off with Charles. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and you had a stroke. So tell the audience what happened, when you had the stroke. Did you know you were having a stroke? What were your signs, and how long did it take you to get help for the stroke?
Well, mine started, I had that worst headache of my entire life. That's the short of it. But I knew I had uncontrolled blood pressure and I knew it, but I didn't have insurance. And at the time, because I didn't have the knowledge of the fact that I was having a stroke or the signs and symptoms, I thought I was having a heart attack. A couple weeks before this incident, I went to the hospital and got some fill-in drugs. The fact that I hadn't seen a doctor, you know, they couldn't diagnose me properly, so they said, here, take this until you get to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I had just got off work, and like I said, I had the headache beyond anything imaginable. And I was going to go sleep, take the pill that they gave me and sleep it off, but I was prompted by God to say, get up and you need to go to the hospital. So I drove myself to the hospital, and I got there. My blood pressure was like 190 over 160, and that caused me to have an aneurysm, and that aneurysm caused a stroke.
Wow. You drove yourself to the hospital, and you're having this, like, I guess a migraine-level headache. I mean, how long was that from the time when you started feeling the headache to when you actually got to the hospital?
About a half hour, 45 minutes, somewhere in that area, because not having health insurance at that particular moment, I was thinking, well, if I go to the hospital, you know, I'm going to incur this great bill that I couldn't afford, and which was one of the main reasons why I had uncontrolled blood pressure, because of the cost that I couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fear that, all of this bill. But then there's your life, you know. It's
right.
Just like these are the decisions that we are making here in the United States about, well, you know, like I think recently this young lady, she had fallen in some kind of like sporting thing, and she got a cut, and and she didn't go, and then she ended up getting infection. It's like we have to stop and think about money when it comes to our health. I just think it's ridiculous.
I agree.
Now, Lanise, tell us your story. How did you know you were having a stroke? And I think I read that you didn't know the first two were strokes. Talk to us about
Correct.
That.
Well, it turns out that I have a blood vessel in my brain that's not formed correctly. It's called a venous angioma. It's just a malformation. When I was 26 years old, suffered my first stroke, I knew instantly that something was wrong. I didn't have the severe headaches, but it was just instantly felt like a switch had been flipped, that my brain felt disconnected. It was difficult to think straight, to put together words. My balance was off, but there were no overtly obvious signs other than, you know, these weird sensations that I was having. And MRIs, tests, it was inconclusive, and it was never diagnosed as a stroke at that point. I suffered my second stroke at the age of 38. I was 7 months pregnant with my now youngest son. And, again, very similar symptoms. Everyone was very worried about, you know, my pregnancy, you know, rightly so. That was,
right.
I was very concerned about him. But, again, I couldn't think correctly. It's very difficult to explain how it feels. But there was a very long story of how I ended up finding out that I'd had a stroke was by accident. A neurologist that I had seen in the hospital during the second stroke, after a minute of speaking with me, told me there was nothing wrong with me. They'd do the test, but they would find nothing. And that's exactly what he told me after the tests were done. He said, speak to a psychologist. You're overstressed. Go home.
He said speak to a psychologist. That happens with these, sometimes these symptoms with different illnesses, like say like lupus or multiple sclerosis, the neurological type of things. The symptoms like could be something else, and then they can mimic other things. And the doctors talk down to people sometimes because they're overstressed, overworked, and they just want to get you in, get you out, and move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. So he told you nothing was wrong after the test, and then now you had a third stroke. So how did you know
Correct.
This third one was a stroke?
The third one was much more obvious. I had just put my youngest son down to bed, sat down in a chair to watch a little TV before going to bed myself, and when I got up to go to bed, I fell flat on my face. My left leg wouldn't move at all. Absolutely nothing.
Wow.
So it's progressively gotten worse. The malformation in my head, there's nothing we can do about it to fix it or change it. So part of how I cope with it is doing things like this. I hope to inform other people that strokes happen for many, many, many different reasons, but they need to be taken seriously, and you know, we need to spread the word that they can happen at any age, at any time. So getting immediate attention is crucial.
Now, some of the things that the National Stroke Association discuss on their website to help you, you know, what are the warning signs, they have this acronym FACE. Charles, are you familiar with that? Could you tell the audience about the, FAST acronym? I said FACE, but FAST.
That's okay. It is FAST. It's FACE. You look at somebody, if their face droops one side or the other, arm, you might want to have them stretch out their arms, and if one arm drifts lower than the other, you want to take notice of that also. And in speech, ask them to repeat a sentence that would be clear, and if it's like garbled or something like that, you want to take notice of the time, because time is brain matter. The faster that you can get them to the hospital to be diagnosed, there's a drug that's called TPA that they can administer that can break up the clot and cause less damage. Now, in my case, I wouldn't have gotten the TPA because mine was a bleed, and the TPA drug would have made the bleed worse.
So now, Lanise, you said you have a malformation in your head. Now, are there any medicines? I mean, I guess you don't have to tell us what the, was there medication that can help alleviate some symptoms? Are you going to physical or speech therapy? What are you doing now since you know that you can't actually fix what's going on inside your head?
I do a lot of praying, and I take a baby aspirin every day. That's a, you know, about all we can do since we have no idea what actually caused the vessel to bleed in the first place. There's no way of really knowing how to prevent it from happening. So I do the obvious things. I try to eat right, and I exercise, and you know, stay on top of my health so that I do everything that I can to be healthy and prevent one from happening again.
One of the things the National Stroke Association discussed on their website is that women have some unique stroke symptoms. And this is really important. I just want to read to you what they're saying is that for women, they may report sudden face and limb pain, sudden hiccups. Now, that's I would never have thought about hiccups when somebody said stroke. Palpitations, nausea, chest pain, shortness of breath, and general weakness. And I think that kind of speaks to what, Lanise, you discussed earlier. You just knew something was off. There was a disconnect and, you know, your balance and stuff. But this is important to understand also for physicians, practitioners, that women may report unique symptoms. Now, Charles, are you taking better care of your blood pressure? What are some lifestyle changes that you might have done because of this stroke?
Well, I've tried to watch what I eat, but mine is more I try to watch what I eat. My stroke left me affected in my right foot. I have what's called foot drop, and I can't get the cardio workout that, you know, I need to lose my weight. But I have one of the gaming systems, and I do that, so it's I'm trying to take care of my weight. Other than that, I'm on medication forever. But I'm trying to get rid of the weight so I can get rid of the medication.
Yes, yes. Now, you go and talk with different support groups. What do you tell them? Like a person who just had the stroke, they're probably nervous. They're probably having a lot of anxiety. They're probably, you know, a little downtrodden. What are some words that you – what do you tell them?
Well, because we know that, you know, after stroke, you're fragile because you don't know what happened to you. You have all these questions going on in your head. We don't try to fill them up with a lot of knowledge. It's more of we understand where you've been. It may not be going through the same thing, but we're going through things that are similar because we have the likeness of having a stroke. We just try to encourage them to be positive as they can. I know that's hard thinking about when I first had my stroke, thinking positively. But, you know, just make them feel comfortable and let them know that this is a safe environment for them. You know, if you feel like you have to cry, because everybody in this room has done it at least 10 times, maybe that day. So just try to help them out.
Now, Lanise, this is a really amazing story Lanise has, audience. She has run a marathon, not just one time, but three times, and she says she wants to run it 17 more. Explain to me why the 17 and not 15. Talk to me about that.
I decided that I wanted to do something to give back for all those stroke survivors out there who have not been as fortunate as I have. Although my left leg will forever be weaker than my right, and I have issues with that. I don't walk with a noticeable limp, and I'm able to run. I got an email from the National Stroke Association, just a generic email saying they were looking for people to run the New York City Marathon and raise money for stroke research, and I decided that was something that I wanted to challenge myself to do. And in 3 months' time, went from not being able to run a mile to finishing 26.2. It was an amazing challenge, but it taught me so much about myself. And I think the thing that really uplifted me personally was knowing how much it meant to stroke survivors out there who had heard of my story and supported me and said it meant something to them that I do that. So I run every year with my shirt now is full of names of stroke survivors I've met along the way. That gives me strength and inspiration to do this. So, I really would like to run this marathon every year that I'm able to. I would love to be around for another 20 years, 25 more years, and still making that marathon run every year in honor of stroke survivors everywhere.
I mean, you're an inspiration to anybody. They don't even have to have a stroke. I mean, to run a marathon, 26 miles is just mind-boggling, even if you are completely supposedly healthy. You know, people just mentally are, like, overwhelmed with the idea of 26 miles. And then you've done it several times and continue to do it. You know, I just, wow, that's all I can say. And thank you for, you know, supporting people and being there for them, both of you, Charles. That takes a lot of, you know, strength because, you know, as an individual, you're dealing with your own issues every day. But then to have the energy to go above and beyond your stuff, your issues, your baggage, and go out, you know, like today, you're talking on the radio show or go out to talk to support groups or run a marathon. You know, I just, you know, I'm bowing down to you right now because, again, everybody is not able to do that. So thank you, and thank you. I want to mention that the National Stroke Association is on Twitter, and their Twitter hook is NATL Stroke ASOC, NATL Stroke ASSOC, and that's on Twitter. Their website is www.stroke.org. Again, that's www.stroke.org. Also, they're on Facebook, so you want to check them out, and you can find out about support groups in your area. They have a whole registry about different programs on there. Also, they have some cool events coming up. One of their cool events coming up are the RAISE Awards, R-A-I-S-E. That's coming up October 19th, Raising Awareness in Stroke Excellence. And they're awarding people, individuals or groups who have taken things to the next level about stroke awareness. I definitely think Niece and Charles should be on that list. you can nominate somebody on the list, and the winners will be announced October 19, 2012. Or you can also send in photos and video to raise@stroke.org. Now, Charles, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Are you going to continue to be a stroke ambassador? Are you going to write a book? What's going to happen, Charles?
Wow. I hope to be an ambassador for stroke till my last breath because it's a lifelong journey now. And as far as raising awareness, I want to do what I can because I see some of the faces in the support group. They're down, they're depressed. And depression leads to so many other things, and I don't want to see people depressed. I want to see people as happy as they can be with what they have. The Lord has blessed me to come back, not like Lanice and be able to run, but he's brought me back to where I know I have to give back. And I want to help out survivors in whatever capacity I can. And in 5 years, I hope stroke awareness is right up there with all the other chronic diseases.
Well, excellent. And, Lanice, are you going to up that number to 18? Why 17? You actually, I don't know if we got the answer to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I sat down and made a bucket list of things I wanted to accomplish in whatever time that I had left, and I thought, you know what? What a cool thing to be able to say I've run 20 marathons. So... That's where 17 came from. I've run three.
Okay.
I have 17 more to cross that off my bucket list.
definitely. Wow. Well, I need to just put one marathon. I haven't even done one marathon, so I'll just try to put one marathon on there. Also, along with jumping out the plane, that's on my list to do a tandem jump out the plane. That might give me a stroke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be so like scared. But
well, you have the information just in case you have one, huh?
Exactly. And let's talk about that again, Lanice. Can you tell the audience again about FAST and what FAST means?
Now, I think one of the key words before for each one of those symptoms, whether it's face, arms, speech, is sudden. Now, anytime there is a sudden headache, a sudden change in your ability to move, your ability to speak, those are immediate medical emergencies and that need to have attention. So, I think if anything that we can put sudden and fast into our vocabulary and know that, face, arm, speech, that time is crucial. We need to get there immediately. And your outcome of survival and quality of life is dependent upon those things. So get there
fast. Act fast. Definitely act fast. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming on today and sharing your stories and having the courage to talk about your stories and support others, run marathons, go to support groups, come on a radio show. Thank you again. And I want to give a shout-out to Taryn, who connected us today from the National Stroke Association. Again, check them out at stroke.org. Check them out on Twitter, NATL Stroke ASSOC, A-S-S-O-C, on Twitter. And also check them out on Facebook and try to nominate somebody, maybe Lanice and Charles. They didn't hear me say that, but for the Reyes Awards, you can nominate them. And also you can send in photos and video to support the nominations at raise@stroke.org. Thank you so much, Lanice and Charles, for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.
You're doing great work.
Thank you. Have a great Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with the National Stroke Association's Face of Stroke Ambassadors. Lanice Hogan and Charles Lewis doing great work across the country. They're all over. There are other stroke ambassadors. You could become a stroke ambassador. Just give the National Stroke Association a call. They need help. They're a nonprofit, and nonprofits and recessions need as much help as they can get. So check them out at stroke.org. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Stay tuned. Fashion and style expert Mickey Taylor. She used to be the editor at Essence Magazine. Now she's the editor at large, but she has a book called Commander and Chick, talking about Michelle Obama's style and how you can incorporate that into your life. Remember, act fast to stay on top of strokes. Have a wonderful Saturday.
So, you want to be a hero. Here are some ways to get the job. Hunt down that killer shark. Or run into a burning house to save a kitten. Luckily, there's an easier way to become a hero. Call 911 if you see someone experiencing the symptoms of stroke. Sudden weakness on one side or trouble speaking, walking, or seeing. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. You'll be a real hero. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.